Good evening. Nearly 2 weeks ago, we completed 2018 and already launched into a brand new year, 2019. And I dare say over maybe a few days before 2019 and maybe over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of self-evaluation, perhaps some resolutions. No doubt we pondered over what did we do in 2018 and what do we need to do in 2019? At least if your thinking is at all along those lines, as is mine, certainly we've been pondering those things. And I don't want this is definitely not a message of doom and discouragement, but with the passing of time and of course just recently having completed yet another year, we're 1 year closer, to either the day of our passing or, the return of our Lord and Savior toward, this earth, someday. We are drawing closer. That day is drawing nearer. That day we're going to stand before the Lord in judgment. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And on that day, our Lord is going to say one of two things. He is going to say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Or he will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." One of those two things we will hear on the day of accounting, the day of judgment. Now, since we're drawing closer to that day with the passing of every year, with the passing of every day, with the passing of every hour, drawing closer when our eternal, when our destiny is going to be sealed forevermore. And there's nothing that we can say and or do to change it once it has been sealed. We need to use this opportunity to provoke our thinking. I want us tonight, we're going to do a little reflection, and then we're going to, God willing, have a couple of resolutions moving forward. Certainly want us to, and this is really keeping in true to the theme that we've been doing the last couple of weeks, just assessing where we are. And I know that we've been doing a lot to dealing with religion, just in general, our Christianity, assessing where we are, where we come and where we need to go. In this past year, we ask ourselves that we're going to begin with some reflection and then, God willing, move into some resolution. But in this past year, did our relationship with God, can we, upon honest examination of self, did our relationship with Christ, did it improve? Did it get stronger? Did it get better? Have we drawn nearer to our God? James said in James 4 and in verse 8 that we are to draw near to God, and the scripture says that he will draw near to us. We have that responsibility. Not necessarily is it an encouragement as it is a command. Draw near to God and he will draw near to us. So bearing in mind that a close relationship depends upon good communication. Good communication. And so when you talk about that, a couple of things. Number one, as we look at the last year, Have we been faithful in listening to what God has to say to us in His Word? Have we been listening to God, and that is reading and studying His Word? When you think about a year, and you think about all that time, that's 365 days. That's 8,760 hours. That's 525,600 minutes. And I can do the math, but that's 31,536,000 seconds. In that time, can we say that we read through the Bible? Did we read through the Bible in that amount of time? If not, and especially if we have never done so, we have to ask ourselves, can we honestly say that we are taking our relationship with God seriously? A relationship depends on good communication. Good communication, a part of that is listening. How do we listen to God? Through His Word. Are we listening to God? Have we read through the Bible this last year? There are those who make it a point of reading through the Scriptures in its entirety in a year. Some will do it a couple of times in a year. Some have never. And some have passed having never read through all the Scriptures. But not only have we been faithful in listening to God as He speaks to us in His Word, but have we been steadfast in talking to God through prayer? What is communication? Communication is listening. The other part of communication is speaking. God speaks to us through His Word, and we speak to Him in prayer. So have we been steadfast in talking to God? Colossians 4 verse 2 says to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I tell you, when you look through Scripture, and we'll look at a couple this evening, but one of the things that you have to acknowledge is that close relationship that Jesus had with the Father. That he would have that beautiful prayer in John 17 says, "You, Father, are in me as I am in you," and that we are one. That's a communication. Jesus on the earth was constantly reading through the scrolls that were available to him, studying and listening and putting himself in the positions where he was listening to the Word of God and asking questions and sharing answers. But then he was also spending a good amount of time in prayer to God. One of my favorite passages is Mark 1:35. As busy as our Lord is and was on this earth, he would sacrifice hours of sleep in order to get alone with God in a solitary place and there pray. Any effective communication requires a two-way street. So you've got a fervent Bible study must be matched with fervent prayer. And what did James say? In James 5 and in verse 16, he said, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." So in this last year, has our degree of prayerfulness, did it increase, did it decrease in that time? Second thing, as we do some reflection, is not only our relationship with God and relationship with Christ, did it improve, but did our relationship with brethren, did our relationship with one another, did it improve over the past year? Has our love for one another increased? I love what Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And what he said at the very beginning is really the essence. He said, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you." For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Indeed, you do so toward all brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. So has our love for one another, has it increased over the past year? Are we drawing closer to one another than we were a year ago at this time? And you know, sometimes we have our senior moments, and people that we know all so well, their names skip us, you know, and they're just on the tip of our tongue, and we just cannot recall it. That happens. But there are also individuals that we don't know as well, and individuals that we don't know by name. And so, you know, as we think about that, do we know our brethren? Do we know them by name? Every year, we're in a new location. We've had a number of visitors that have visited us and potential members. Do we even know one another to know whether or not this individual is a baptized believer or not? Do we know who our brethren are? And if we know who our brethren are, how well do we know them? Has that, you know, we always get closer to the ones that we love. There's always that bond growing stronger and stronger. Your close friends perhaps are closer and more dearer to you now than they were even a year ago because of time spent, because of effort to put forth. Well, what about with one another? Our brothers and sisters in Christ, do we know the people we've always known? Have we spent the time to know the people we don't know as well? Has our relationship with those in the world, has it improved? As a child of God, we have an important responsibility. Even Brother Long in his prayer this evening gave mention to this, and I was appreciative of that. But giving reference to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus, as he's beginning his earthly ministry, what is his part of his initial message to his disciples? It is this: you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is telling us, he is telling his disciples, he is telling his followers that you have a responsibility to be a positive influence. We have a responsibility to have a positive influence in our society, in our homes, in our workplace. Everywhere we go, there needs to be some positive energy. You are what? You are the salt of the earth. Something special, something distinct, something different. And we are to be that salt. We have a responsibility, as we mentioned earlier, to demonstrate a better way. You're the light of the world. Certainly individuals need to look to us and say, there's something different. This is not somebody that we typically see. This is not the common average individual. This is somebody special. This is somebody different. Well, as a Christian, that ought to be us. A positive influence, a better way is what we are to be demonstrating and exerting. Did we make any progress, friends? Did we make any progress in developing meaningful relationships with people in the world? How can we bring individuals to Christ? if we're not spending time developing meaningful relationships. We have to get to know them better. They have to be able to see us more and more. We have to be in their life because they need to see, and God willing, they are seeing, they're seeing Christ in our life. That's what Paul writes. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2 and in verse 20. Are people able to say, hey, that's Christ living in that individual? That's our responsibility. And that's what God expects of us. You know, these questions, as we reflect on these things, really can be summarized in this way. Another year has come and gone. 2018 has come and gone. Did we make good use of the time that God gave us? Or did we squander it? Did we waste it? Well, it's unlikely that all of us can say that perhaps there's not a one of us in all likelihood that could say with all honesty that we always made good use of our time. I doubt very seriously that any of us could in all honesty say that we always made good use of 2018. But let's apply the words of the Apostle Paul. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we've done some reflection. Let's use the same reflection and make some resolutions. As we look at what we did in 2018, maybe we're happy, maybe we're sad, but I know we can all do better. So as 2019 is here, we're 2 weeks into it, almost 2 weeks in it, let's resolve, number one, that this is going to be the year that we are all individually, personally, going to draw closer to God. We're going to draw closer to God. We're going to be closer to Him than ever before. 2019 is going to be that year. We're going to read through. We're going to have a daily reading thing, and we're going to spend some. One of the things I loved about my papa and mama, they had this Winnebago, and when they retired, they traveled. They visited with us often. I remember walking to school in the mornings, and there they are sitting at their breakfast table, and they're having a devotional. Just husband and wife. Opening God's Word, studying the Scriptures. I will never forget that. People need to see that in us. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, they need to know that God's Word's important to us. Well, let's read. It's daily spend some time in God's Word. The Word of God, it's living and it's powerful, Scripture says. The Hebrew writer says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So let's commit ourselves. Let's commit ourselves to read through the Old Testament this year. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15 and in verse 4. Let's resolve that we're going to read through the New Testament this year. All Scripture is given of inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. What's God's Word able to do? Well, we're going to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of meekness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is what? Which is able to save our souls. James 1, verse 21. this year as newborn babes in Christ, or as newborn babes, we're going to desire the pure milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. In 2019, let us resolve to have a better relationship with God, not only listening to Him as He speaks to us in His Word, but let's be diligent in prayer. We're going to be diligent in prayer. Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love Daniel's custom. I love Daniel in Daniel 6 and in verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed, gave thanks before his God, and his custom since, as was his custom since early days. When there was a physical danger to pay homage to God, he not only prayed, he prayed where people could see him. His motive wasn't to be seen to receive the praises of men. His motive was to say, God's first in my life. And I'm going to put Him first. So, you know, sometimes we have these, excuse me, sometimes we have this, these smartphones, and we take advantage of technology. It is so easy for the day to get away. It is so easy to be so busy. It is so easy to wake up late and have to start running, and to close it down too late that we're exhausted and go to bed. Set your alarm to stop whatever you're doing, stop wherever you are, and take that time to pray. Whether it's a few seconds, a few minutes, or longer, take that opportunity to pray. Let's resolve not only to have a stronger, better relationship with God, but let us resolve to have a stronger, better relationship with one another. Really, it's what we talked about when we were talking about reflecting and what it should be. Well, this resolve, this is what it's going to be. 2019 is going to be a year that we know one another better. That we be the family that God wants us to be. We make it a point to know everyone's name. 3 John verse 14, I hope to see you shortly and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. 3 John 14. Have a different person, different family perhaps in our home. Maybe not necessarily have to be a big dinner, maybe just a greet and meet and just an opportunity to visit. Scripture calls upon us to be hospitable. As we have opportunity, let's bring individuals into our home with what purpose? The purpose of getting to know one another, become better acquainted with one another. And if it's not possible, it's not always convenient to meet in the home. Maybe we're always going and... But let's find a place that we can meet. One person, 1 month. One family, 1 month. Say, this is my goal. I'm going to know that person better by the end of this month. That's our goal. Not only is it our resolution to get better and stronger with one another in Christ, but we need to resolve to get to know non-Christians better. We need to get to know them. Having a neighbor, a co-worker in our home each month. Paul said what in Galatians 6:10? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Again, Galatians 6, verse 10. If God's important to us, if Christ is important to us, if the church is really important to us, we need to make a serious effort to get to know non-members better, to be in their life more, to let our salt be before them and our light shine, that they may glorify the Father before it's everlasting too late. You know, as we draw to a close, these resolutions, they seem very simplistic. And really, they are. But if we implement these simplistic resolutions, it's going to go a long way in a couple of ways. It's going to go a long way in producing the kind of lifestyle that's becoming of a New Testament Christian. This is what God wants us to be. It's going to go a long way in improving our relationship with God, improving our relationship with brethren, improving our relationship with those who are in the world. It's going to build relationships, and this is going to bless our life. And not only that, it's going to be a blessing to the church. And not only that, it's going to be a blessing to the community. And here's another thing. Let's implement these simplistic resolutions so that at the end of this time, at this time next year, if the good Lord wills and we're here and the world still exists, that our conscience can be clear and we can say, hey, I did better in 2019 than I ever did before. Let that be our goal on December 31st. What is time? We know time is a vapor. We have now, and we're not guaranteed the next second. Things happen, things change. We need to understand how blessed it is to have time, what a blessing it is to have the opportunity to do better, to make better decisions, and to make things right and to be right with God. James says, your life is but a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. What did Paul write in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 16? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Lord willing, these resolutions, these simple resolutions, will help us make a better use of time. I want to close with the following poem. It's by a very popular author, perhaps you've heard, unknown. Probably written more poems and more articles than maybe anonymous. But it's entitled A New Year, A New Beginning, and really it captures in his, or she, whoever penned it, the essence of not just a year, but any moment of time. The old year ends, a new begins, with pages clean and new. And what is written on each page will now depend on you. You can't relive the year that's past, erasing every wrong. For once a year or day is spent, it's forever gone. But don't give up in dark despair if you have failed some test. Seek God's forgiveness and resolve henceforth to do your best. Resolve each precious day to do things good and kind and pure. Though days and years may pass away, these things shall still endure. You know not where your path may lead, nor what's beyond the hill, but know that God walks at your side if you do His will. All things are possible with God, though days be bright or dim. So do your best and know that you can leave the rest to Him. Brethren and friends, This is an opportunity for us to resolve to make 2019 the best year ever. Make this the best year that has ever been. Maybe there are some in this assembly who are not yet in God's family. Maybe have not yet been baptized into Christ. Stand outside of Christ, you stand outside of hope, you still stand in sin and lost. You can change that. Repent, confess. You can, believing that Jesus is the Christ, hearing the truth, be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can put on Christ in baptism, and you can be risen in Christ, a new creature. You can have all those sins washed away and remembered no more, and the blessed hope of heaven in your hands. If you are God's child, but you strayed from the faith, you can repent, confess, and be restored. The beauty of now is we have this time to make sure that we're right and ready for our Lord's return. If you have a need of any kind, we encourage you to come forward as together we stand and together we sing.
For the gentle voice of Jesus, oh.